The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Can you turn my mic down just a tiny bit? Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I always get a little bit nervous stepping outside my realm of expertise, and I'm a little bit concerned that Dave Lagore is going to judge my assessment of this morning. So Dave, you can come up and tell me, critique my assessment following the sermon today. But I want to begin by talking to you about the practice of improv. Have any of you ever engaged in any improvisational activities or seen anybody else do that? Anybody have experience with that? So there's a principle in the world of improv, and that principle is yes and. When somebody comes up to you in improv and says to you, "We're going on a trip to Rome," you don't say to them, "No, I don't think that's a good idea." You respond by saying, "Yes, and we're going to take a giant suitcase full of bread." It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be anything logical. But the thing is that when somebody comes up to you in the practice of improv, your response is always supposed to be yes and. Because if your response isn't yes and, then it has the potential, the very likely potential, to kill any momentum that your story or your improv is going to take. And so in the world of improv, in the world of getting up before people and seeing where it takes you, you always respond yes and. The season of Advent is a season in which we, as people of faith, are called to respond yes and. It is our time of hope and anticipation, our time when we witness to the work that God is doing in a world that is broken and crying out for God's release, for God's wholeness, for God's peace. And we are people of faith who witness to where God is moving and say, yes, and. But the thing is that living into this yes, and in our lives is exceptionally difficult because it goes against everything that we have been trained to do. Everything that we have been trained to, how we have been trained to think and to move through this world. Because what we are trained to do and to be in this world is not yes and, but yes but. Yes but. I might be going through this difficult thing, I might be facing this trial, but I should be more grateful. Yes, I might be facing these insurmountable stressors, but other people have it so much worse than I do. Yes, but it could be so much worse. Yes, but it's really not that bad. What yes, but does is to take whatever thing we have just acknowledged with that yes, whatever truth we have just spoken, and then to turn it around and say that it no longer matters. Yes, this reality exists, but I shouldn't acknowledge it. I shouldn't live into it. I shouldn't walk with this yes. I may be able to briefly, in the briefest of seconds, acknowledge it, but then I have to go and deny it because it is too big to carry. John the Baptist is sitting in prison. John the Baptist knows that he is facing a death sentence. John the Baptist has spent his entire career, for lack of a better word, his entire ministry, his entire calling, preparing the way of Jesus Christ. This is not how he expected his ministry to come to an end, sitting in prison and waiting for his death. And so he sends word to Jesus. He asks his disciples to go to Jesus and to say, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Yes, I know that you were called. I know that you were the one that I baptized, that you were the one that I have prepared the way for, but now I'm sitting in prison. Now I am behind bars. Now my ministry is coming to an end in this terrible way, and you are not coming to save me. You are not coming to get me out of this mess. So yes, I thought you were the one, but maybe you're not. Maybe this is not the reality that I thought it was. Jesus, in this moment, he hears and recognizes and acknowledges John's yes, but, and responds with a yes, and. Yes, I know that you are sitting in prison. Yes, I know that this is not how your ministry was going to go. Yes, I know that you are facing a death sentence. And the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. It can be hard sitting behind prison bars to acknowledge the yes and. It can be easy to only be able to see the yes, but that is sitting in front of us. And yet this season of Advent, this season of anticipation, this season of waiting invites us to participate in God's yes and. This past week, I was on the phone with my mom, and we were both had been having frustrating days, and we were both feeling overwhelmed, and I spent about 20 minutes unloading all of the things that I was frustrated about, and she spent about 20 minutes unloading all of the things that she was frustrated about, and then we just kind of sat there on the phone and said, "Well, this was a depressing phone call." And we kind of sat with that for a moment, and some of the things that I had been expressing to her were feeling overwhelming to me, were the stress of what this coming year is going to look like for Spirit of Joy, the overwhelming questions that still loom in front of us, the questions that I have about my own leadership into this future, the ways that I was feeling overwhelmed and anxious by all of that. And I realized, I had this revelation in that conversation. And I said to my mom, "Yes, all of these things are going to be challenging. They are going to require and ask a lot of me. And I found one of the only congregations in the ELCA willing to take this type of risk, willing to step out in faith, willing to move forward, not entirely knowing what is around the corner, and yet moving out in faith despite that. Yes, this is scary and overwhelming and full of unknowns and stressful, and it is beautiful and wonderful and has the opportunity for God to move in new and unexpected ways. Now, I don't want to suggest to you this morning that the yes and is the kind of and that looks back at the yes. Are you following me? The and that looks back at the yes and says, that's not a very big deal. The yes of the reality in which we live is always a big deal. The yes that acknowledges the full extent of our brokenness of ourselves, the brokenness of our world, the brokenness of our communities and our systems, that yes is real. God's and does not negate that yes. When John is sitting behind the prison bars and Jesus sends word to him, go and tell John what you see and hear, he doesn't say, go and tell John what you see and hear, that he is going to be released from prison and that every trial that he is facing is going to suddenly disappear because I am the Messiah and I'm here to take away all of your problems. He says, yes, John, you are in prison. That is the reality. You are going... He doesn't necessarily say you're going to lose your life, but he acknowledges that this is the reality in which John finds himself. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't try to make it all go away. He doesn't try to make it better. He doesn't swoop in and save the day and take John out of prison. Yes, you are witnessing these things behind the bars of a prison. Yes. This kingdom that I am ushering in is not one that you are going to witness in its fullness in this life. Yes, the pain and the trials that you are experiencing right now are real, and I am not going to explain that away or take it away from you. And God is still at work. God is still moving. God is still bringing sight and sound, walking and cleansing, good news and release from the power of death. God's Spirit is still moving in the midst of all of our yes buts to bring us the good news of the yes and. You might be sitting this morning behind those prison bars and wondering where in the world God is showing up. And I'm here to tell you that God is not going to magically fix all of your problems. That is not the joy of Advent. The joy of Advent is being able to sit behind those prison bars and to recognize God's yes and in the midst of that, to recognize where God might be moving. There's a woman that I follow on Instagram, and she has been writing and reflecting on Christian life for a long time. And she, this past year, lost her 18-year-old son to suicide. And she has been reflecting on that experience throughout her year. And this year, she wrote about Christmas and what Christmas feels like in the midst of that grief. She said, I tried to listen to Christmas carols the other day, and I couldn't do it. It's no surprise that I'm struggling through all the Christmas stuff after this terrible year. And as I try to figure out where grief fits in during the holidays, what are you supposed to do with a broken heart when celebration is the name of the game? I literally want to scream scream expletives at the top of my lungs while everyone else is shouting joy to the world. And I don't know, I guess that seems like a problem. I'm not in a celebratory mood, like not at all. So when I woke up to this dumb, drizzly day, oh my goodness, it felt so right. Weather like this, and she posted a picture of a misty, cloudy day, weather like this is strangely comforting to me right now. It's an actual relief when the light is dim and the clouds are low and mist has softened the sharp edges. I feel more at home here on Earth when fog has filled the void with mystery and all of the trees are heavy laden. Under the burden of a sad, stormy day, everything seems to grow smaller and quieter and more vulnerable, until the world looks exactly how I feel. In this ethereal darkness, I feel recognized. And I wonder if maybe this is the spirit of Christmas, too. Sure, joy to the world and all that jazz, but when heaven and nature sing, maybe sometimes they sing a song for the sad people, and maybe that's enough. There is something in Jamie's experience in which she is able to recognize and acknowledge the yes and of Advent in ways that maybe some of us who are not carrying that heavy grief cannot. But Jesus is the one who sees us, who recognizes where we are in the reality of our yes, and invites us into an and that does not deny that reality, that does not tell us that that reality doesn't matter, but reminds us over and over again that God's yes and is when God chose to dwell with us in the vulnerability of human skin, when God chose to enter into our very experience, to walk in with and through everything that we go through, to be beside us and with us, to carry us through these seasons of our lives when the yes of where we are seems like something that we will never be able to cope with. And yet behind those prison bars, the good news still manages to break through. Yes, and thanks be to God.